Hello, and welcome to Diabetes Dialogue, technology, therapeutics, and real-world perspectives. Diabetes Dialogue is a monthly podcast hosted by myself, Diana Isaacs, and Natalie Bellini, providing a regular news roundup of the latest clinically applicable insights across diabetes and metabolic diseases, with a focus on leveraging technology to improve care. Produced by HCP Live Endocrinology, the audio version of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, with a video version available only on hcplive.com. Hello, and welcome to this edition of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. I am Diana Isaacs, your co-host with Natalie Bellini, and we are so excited to be at the ATTD meeting live in Berlin, Germany, and we're going to be interviewing several superstars at this meeting. So, Natalie, if you can introduce what this episode is about and who our special guest is.
Hi, and welcome. This is my friend for years and years now, Dr. Catherine Bernard, who came with and presented on patient-reported outcomes and a consensus statement. So we're going to talk a lot about what happened and why it's happening and the need for something about more detail about patient-reported outcomes today. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why? How did you end up here?
Yeah, so firstly, thank you so much for asking me to come do this today. I'm thrilled. So I am a professor of health psychology, and I have worked in the long-term condition space, particularly diabetes, for about 20 years now. And we have, over the years, gotten really good at developing patient-reported outcome measures alongside clinical care and research to really improve the rigor and the quality of those measures and the precision in what we do. But the challenge is that in our efforts to do that, what we have really struggled to do and not done really effectively is to integrate to support healthcare professionals much more closely in terms of how they then support their patients in the patient-reported outcome space. So we know that the physical model of healthcare is not effective in long-term condition management. And we know that behavior change and self-management behaviors are crucial in the majority of time that people don't get to come and see with a healthcare professional. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to provide some clarity around what are person-reported outcomes, often called patient-reported outcomes, why does it matter, because it really does, and how can we provide a clarity around the underpinning science and the mechanism of action when you use a person-reported outcome measure. So our focus predominantly with this initiative is to start with research so that we can help people when they're making submissions, for example, to regulatory approvals bodies like the FDA, to help the FDA to really understand what they are measuring and how, and what is a meaningful difference. And then what we will do next as part of the initiative is we will move into support clinical care so that we can help clinicians much more effectively understand which measures to use and how.
That's incredible, because I think as a clinician who has done some research, sometimes you're groping for, well, let's grab something, let's use something. But yeah, this is going to help me help my patients decide what to use, which measure to use for which studies and how. I love it.
How does this really happen, though, in terms of like the standardization? Because it seems like there's like so many different outcomes. Uh-huh. And then I saw a slide, someone was presenting that, oh, well, if you don't like the current ones or you want to simplify it, you make a new one, but then that adds to more outcomes.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
How, yeah. I'm just curious how you guys like have
a lot
of
work. And then there's technology and medication, and are they going to be different? And what about kids and adults and transition?
So our consensus statement is looking at type 1 and type 2 diabetes across the ages. So we'll have two distinct documents, one for adults and one for children and families. And the way that we're doing this is we are not recommending any measures, because okay, it will never work. You are never going to get consensus. I mean, Frank Schnuck in the session yesterday, they're doing a mapping exercise And they've already identified 400 measures in type 2 diabetes. It's like, we're not recommending measures. Even our own measures, we're not recommending, you know? What we are doing is we're providing a blueprint that will help people go and find the right measure. So we're looking at the distinct domains, so like self-efficacy, for example, fear, anxiety, depression, well-being, quality of life. We're looking at the person perspective, predominantly sexual health in adults, and we are providing a summary of each of these different aspects of person-reported outcomes so that what people can do is they can go, right, I want to measure in my trial self-efficacy. And I know now how to identify a good measure. I know how to look for reliability, I know how to look for validity. So I am going to go to PubMed or wherever, and I'm going to find a questionnaire or a semi-structured interview or whatever that will help me assess what I want to know in my clinical trial. Because I don't think that as scientists, yeah, we can make recommendations. Anybody can send me their protocol and I can make recommendations about which PROs I would use. However, we can't pretend to know for every clinical trial and every population amongst people with diabetes what the best measure is. And I don't think that we, as a group of experts, allegedly, we don't have all that power. We shouldn't just be something that we can do. This needs to be something that we can clarify so that everybody can go and find the right measure. Like, everybody can understand HbA1c and everybody can understand time and range.
Right.
The documents are designed so that we can help people to understand what is the science, what are we measuring, how are we going to measure it, and go and find the right measure. Because we could publish this, and then tomorrow a brilliant measure could come out, and it won't be included in our list.
Right.
So we are absolutely not recommending measures. We can say these measures are commonly used, but you don't have to use them.
Right.
See, one of the other things that's really interesting was we're looking at validity and reliability and quality of questionnaires. And I spoke to Marissa Hilliard, who is a brilliant psychologist.
Right.
They developed a fantastic questionnaire, the Diabetes Strengths and Resilience questionnaire, with Corey and Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good measure, in my opinion. And I asked Marissa, we're doing a study, would you mind if we use your measure, please? And she went, of course. So, set up the protocol, sent me the measure, everything was great. I went, oh, could you ping me the article with the validity data? That'd be amazing. So we didn't publish it. But it's a really good measure. But there's no article with validity data yet. So if we were to recommend measures based on validity and reliability publications, we could never recommend that measure, even though it's brilliant.
Right.
So we're avoiding that minefield.
Okay. I understand. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, you just didn't have a consensus and have some people sit in a room and say, yes. You have actually made a plan, a long-term mapping to make this what you really want it to be. Can you tell us a little bit about, so you met here, what's next, and how, I know you're doing something with ADCES, I know you're doing something at ADA. Can you just talk a little bit about what's next to move this forward?
So we have a group of 24, I think there are, of us lead authors who are experts in this field who will be pulling the text together. That includes people with diabetes, psychologists, sociologists. So that's our core authorship team. And what we are doing is we are connecting with as many key stakeholders as possible so that we can get engagement and input from as broad a reach of people as possible. Anybody that has a view, please reach out to me because we would like to hear it, please. Because we are absolutely not into doing what we think is good for you.
Okay? Right.
That just doesn't work. Paternalism does not work, you know? So we can pull the text together, but we have engaged in this huge program of outreach. So we're doing the symposium at the conferences, like say the ADA, ISPAD. Some of the guys are doing a symposium at ISPAD. We're doing some work with the IDF. As well as this, we are on Diabetes UK. As well as this, we are doing a series of webinars. So Children with Diabetes did the first one that explained what we're doing and how. ADCES are doing the next one, and that's on the 2nd of March. It's free to attend. Please do come along. It's I think it's 4 o'clock Eastern time. 12. I'm not sure. 2nd of March. I can send details.
Awesome.
And then there's one in May by JDRF, mm-hmm. and then there's one in August by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Because what we want is to try and disseminate as broadly as possible and to get feedback and review. So once our original document is first drafted, we'll send it out to key stakeholder groups for review. We'll take that on board and we'll re-edit it, and then we'll send again to make sure that we've captured the feedback correctly. We will. So then we will have a final document, which will be in two parts, adults and peds, that will provide this blueprint for understanding.
The idea that you are actually taking all of our key stakeholder groups that we both work in every day and getting opinions from everyone and not just saying, let's go to this group or let's go to that group is so important when you're looking at person-reported outcomes. This is I'm thrilled. I'm actually, as a clinician, as a person who is a researcher, this is such important work.
Great. And are you looking to have this endorsed by the different organizations?
Yes.
Then?
So we started with EASD because this initiative started by Chantal Matthew, who is the current president of the EASD, saying, Catherine, we need some clarity. So I foolishly said, oh, I know.
I can help that. Right.
Somebody should probably have done that about 10 years ago, right? And she went, all the while, everybody's saying somebody should probably have done that, and nobody's actually doing it, are they, Kat?
Oh!
Caught out.
Here we go. Hello. Okay.
Fine. But she's right.
Yeah.
She's right.
Yep.
You know, we should do it. So I emailed a few people that kind of said, like, can we do this? And everybody was just like, yes, we should do this. And it's been brilliant. The way that everybody has come together to deliver this, it's just collaboratively and just amazing. I'm really thrilled to be part of it. I'm really thrilled. They're such brilliant people across the stakeholder groups, you know? It's really humbling. It's
nice. So just, I remember in the session yesterday, it got brought up about family reported outcomes,
Yeah,
so I'm curious, I assume will that be incorporated into this as well?
Yeah. And somebody came to me afterwards, actually, and this is, like, the value of these sessions is, we think about caregivers, and I had kind of thought, you know, families, caregivers, parents, schools, grandparents, you know? And then they kind of went, no, type 2 diabetes. And I was like, And I immediately thought, you know, care homes, people that come into people's homes. And she went, no, children caregivers of their parents, of their family members with type 2 diabetes. And I was like, of course. Absolutely right, of course. But that wasn't where my thinking was.
Right.
And she hadn't said that, my thinking still wouldn't be there.
Right.
So we're really keen for this to be as inclusive and collaborative. You know, just because, you know, people go, oh, Professor Barnard, you know, there's plenty of things I don't know. You know? So please help us with this initiative because we want to get it right.
Awesome. Wow. Wow, what a wonderful, I can't wait to hear what happens at ADA after this, right? I can't wait to watch this happen.
Yeah, so ADA have been brilliant. They've given us a symposium in San Diego, and they're working with us on endorsement. ISPAD have endorsed, JDRF, ADCES have been amazing as well, Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation, Diabetes UK, is working with the IDF. I mean, literally, every organization, we're trying to include every organization to partner or endorse what we're doing so that we can really make this fit. Because this is where we are going in healthcare. The FDA have made it very clear over the past few years. You know, they want standardized patient-reported outcomes. They asked us to submit our INSPIRE measures, which is a person-reported outcome for closed loops, through their MDDT process, which we did, and they qualified so they could prove that you can achieve parity of esteem in assessment of mental health safety and physical health safety. And then they asked us to set up the collaborative community to reduce self-harm and suicide.
Right.
So you can see that they are taking this much more holistic approach. And if we can help them to understand it effectively in standard assessment through the science and the mechanisms of action, then we can then help research advisory boards to better understand the applications that come in. from a psychosocial perspective.
Wow.
So if you can disseminate that,
right,
like a ripple in a pond,
wow,
to get that understanding, then you can improve the science and the research holistically, which then improves clinical care.
Awesome.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's a great plan. Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for talking with us today. That was so insightful and really.